We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome in. It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. I'm Scott Girard. Excited to have a couple conversations with two guys that fortunately I've had the opportunity to be around for the last few years. As good a human beings as they are football players, as they make their path to the NFL draft and hopefully securing spots into the NFL for a long, long time. So with that, let's get to a couple conversations. You're going to hear from Dominic Eberle a little bit later on, but we start the conversation with David Woodward, outstanding linebacker for Utah State. Unfortunately, had a season cut short due to the concussions, but he's ready to go and keep his NFL dream alive. Here's my conversation with David Woodward. Former Utah State linebacker David Woodward, kind enough to join us. And it's a strange, weird world we're living in, David. But I got to imagine this has been really strange for you, trying to prepare for an NFL draft, trying to meet with teams, impress teams, impress GMs. What have these last few weeks been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a little different than what it should have, obviously, not being able to do pro day the original way. I've been trying to work out as much as I can and still prepare. It's similar to how it would have been if everything was normal, but like with Pro Day, doing that on video, I did that last week and had to get that recorded with just only a couple people. So that was something that was different. Then just been working out and trying to keep my strength and weight up and best I can.
So let's talk about the pro day. So obviously you're not allowed to have GMs there and they can't see you in person. So how are you able to facilitate that?
Yeah, I had my agents helped me set it all up, get a field to use because everything's kind of shut down.
Yeah.
I find a place that allows you to go there. So I went to Skyview High School. They let me go on that field and just use our school's video crew and just making sure we have all the right angles and getting everything on video to where the scouts can tie with themselves and make sure everything's marked out correctly.
So what are your interactions with team GMs right now and personnel from different teams? Are they able to talk to you on Zoom or some kind of teleconference? What's that like?
It's mostly just over text or had a coach FaceTime me and just talk to me over that. But right now it's pretty much just calling or FaceTiming or texting, but because nothing can be in person.
Yeah. David Woodward, kind enough to join us as he prepares for the NFL draft. What are some of the things you've been working on physically to try to improve yourself going into the draft?
I'm working on drills and speed work, trying to get to the field and making sure I'm staying loose and stretching and all that type of stuff, and still trying to do workouts without all the same weights I'm normally used to with bands and body weight type stuff. So just trying to stay loose and stay as strong as I can.
Are you having a hard time getting access to weight equipment and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a little more difficult because I was going to the school's weight room and working out there, but that all got shut down. So I've been doing band workouts, going to the field while the school is still open. And then just a couple, there's still some weight rooms that are open that I can get into, and then I'll be able to do more when I'm home. So.
You know, I want to go back to last season. It started out so well, you know, with, I mean, you were still, even after you didn't play for a while, you still were second on the team in tackles. What was that like for you? Because it started out so well, and how difficult was it to shut it down when the concussion happened?
Yeah, it was definitely something like an inner fight in my brain, just going through like, oh, should I not? Just ended up choosing the right thing, I think, and saving myself a little bit so I can figure out what was wrong. And then just not being able to finish the season I had started was kind of tough, especially how it was going for me, knowing that if I was able to play those last six games, the type of things we could have done as a team and numbers I could have put up. But I think I ended up making the right decision.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're a competitor and you want to play. I mean, I got to imagine it was difficult when you're talking to team doctors and Coach Anderson to finally say, you know what, it's probably in our best interest to not play anymore. How hard was that decision?
Yeah, it was really hard. It was something I had to think about and talk to people about and make sure it was something that I should do. And after talking to everyone, the consensus was that that was probably the best choice. And even though it was, I knew it was something that was still hard for me to do.
Yeah. David Woodward, kind enough to join us as we talk about his path to the NFL draft, which is still a couple of weeks away. I want to back up even further. When did you feel like, because I remember watching you in fall camp and you were a freshman, and I had to go over to some of the trainers. I'm like, who is this guy? Because he is all over the field. He's making every tackle. What was it like your first, you know, couple of years at Utah State? And when did you really feel like, wow, I have a chance to be really, really good at this?
Yeah, it was definitely a little different shock when I first came in because I was only like 190 pounds. So the big weight difference was something I noticed. And then over the years, once I got a little more weight on, that definitely helps a lot to be able to stick up with the other guys and take people on, take on blockers. And that was the biggest thing I had to overcome when I first got in. But I'd say the Michigan State game is when I really knew I could play and have a chance at playing in the NFL and possibly have a career playing this game. So I'd say it was that game, just playing a team like that with a lot of talented players, and they play a pretty tough schedule. And when we had a really close game and came down to the last drive against them, I knew that this is something I could do.
What was it about Utah State when you're being recruited that made you feel like this is where you needed to be? And was it Coach Collins who discovered you?
It was actually one of the old Stacey's coaches who first started recruiting me, and then it was Coach Wells and Coach Shaver who used to be here.
Gotcha.
But what was the question again? Sorry.
No problem. What was it about Utah State when you, through the recruiting process, made you feel like this is where I wanted to play football?
Oh, yeah. It was originally the strength staff when I came on my visit.
Really?
I talked to Coach Scholes and his staff who was here, and just seeing all the transformations they had done with players before, like Nick Vigil and Kyler Fackrell, and just guys who have come in similar to me, just smaller, and were athletes in high school they put weight on and gave them a chance to play the position they wanted to. So that's something I knew if I came here, they'd be able to put on the weight I needed.
Did you play linebacker in high school? Because sometimes guys play other positions and then they grow and develop and put on weight and then they move them into linebacker. What did you play in high school?
Yeah, I played safety in high school and then receiver and outside quarterback.
I love it. Yeah. But I got to imagine, because I remember hearing the story about the Vigil brothers, and you know they didn't play a lot of linebacker, but they knew right away that once we get them here in this program, they're going to be a linebacker. Did they tell you that as well?
Yeah, Wells was telling me at first that I was going to be – I came as an outside linebacker, actually. So he was saying I was going to convert from safety to linebacker, and he already knew that I could put on the weight and had the frame to do it. So trusted and believed him.
So you mentioned the Michigan State game. Is there any other games that come to mind, some of your most memorable games that you had the most fun playing in?
I'd say Wake Forest this year.
Yeah.
Just being able to make a ton of plays. And
well, you should have had a touchdown, too. They robbed you of a score.
I know. And I think about it, I'm like, dang, if that would have counted, that's a lot more stats to be added to me.
Yeah, and you get a double. Yeah. You guys win that game, too.
I know. I think it was a big momentum shift. But I'd say that one, and then probably that Michigan State game, too, my sophomore year.
Awesome. David Woodward joining us as we talk about the NFL draft and everything that goes into it. I think one thing that we don't talk a lot about and is how difficult or what's the process like of hiring an agent? Because I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there that and some are great and some are not so great, but everybody is, I'm sure, blowing up your phone wanting to represent you. What? How did you narrow it down and how did you settle in on the agent you have?
Yeah, I kind of got lucky because there are a lot of people who message you and DM you on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. But the agents I had messaged me a while back, probably halfway through my sophomore year, and been talking to me for a while, just sending me messages and stuff. And then it's pretty much just kind of talking to players who have been here before you and see who what agents they've had or what people have heard about the agent.
Yeah.
But I just knew that the ones I have, Jim Grogan and Ryan Downey, they had Nick Vigil. So just talking to people and knowing that he's with them and he signed with them, and then Zach Vigil also. So just knowing who they've had before and then talking and asking just about them and their reputation, heard good things. So that's how I ended up choosing them.
You know, there's a great lineage of linebackers at Utah State. You mentioned the Vigil brothers, Kyler Fackrell, Bobby Wagner, who's on the All-Decade team. Was that appealing to you when you came to Utah State, knowing that these guys not only put on the weight and were physically sound, but also ended up making money in the league?
Yeah, it was Nick Vigil is the only one I really knew, actually. Nick Vigil and Kyler Fackrell coming in. And then Bobby Wagner a little bit, but I didn't really know what Utah State was before I got offered here, so I was kind of learning that stuff as I was here. But, yeah, I think just knowing all the players they've had go to the NFL from here definitely intrigued me, and I knew if I came here and produced that I'd have a chance to do that too.
Is there any team that you're looking at in particular that you would like to go to, any team that you cheered for? You're just like, hey, just take me in the draft and I'll go wherever.
Honestly, just any team. Just being able to play somewhere and just a team that wants me and pretty much anywhere. I mean, I grew up a Bengals fan, but
really,
yeah, mm-hmm. Just playing the NFL street. I like their logo.
Oh, gotcha.
Bengals tiger. Yeah. So it's kind of funny when Nick Vigil ends up getting drafted there.
Have you talked to any of these guys at all throughout this process?
Not them, but I've talked to like Dallin.
Okay.
And Dax and just kind of the guys who were ahead of me.
Yeah.
Because they went through it just recently.
So what are you going to spend draft night? I mean, we all have this social distancing thing we got to be careful about these days and can't have huge parties. But do you know what your draft night's going to look like and what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, I wasn't going to have anything huge anyway. So it's just going to be me, my parents, and then my siblings and my girlfriend. So, yeah, just a small little group.
And then of course, just hold on and wait. Have you heard anything from teams? Have they given you any thoughts as to where you may go in the draft, or are you just kind of, it's all up in the air at this point?
Yeah, it's just all up in the air. I'm not too sure. So we're going to see what happens.
It's going to be a crazy night for sure. Well, David, man, we appreciate it. We loved watching you play here at Utah State. So many great moments, so many great plays. You know, everybody's rooting for you, and hopefully you have a long and very, very successful career in the NFL. Let us know how things go, and we look forward to chatting with you again here very soon.
All right, yep, I will. Thanks for having me on.
David Woodward, such a great player and a great ambassador of Utah State, and certainly wishing him well, and hopefully he gets good news come draft day in the NFL draft. Let's shift gears and talk to, in my opinion, the greatest place kicker to ever play at Utah State, Dominic Eberle, kind enough to join us here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. All right, excited to chat with, in my opinion, the best kicker in Utah State history, Dominic Eberle, kind enough to carve out a few moments for us. Hey, so it's a crazy world out there. Hopefully you're staying safe. Tell us where are you at right now? Where are you living, and what's life like for you right now?
So I'm just back home with my parents. I'm in Redondo Beach in California, just staying in, living life, and you know, kind of got my own workout set up in my garage with, you know, like a couple free weights and a bench press and stuff. And usually there's a park or a field somewhere open where I can go kick it.
It's tough to not try to put that thing through the goalpost somewhere. What is your, you know, a day in the life? You go to a park, you try to get some kicks off. Do you feel like you've been able to get enough work in to get to where you need to be?
Yeah, no, I feel like I've done a good enough job with being in Buffalo prior to this. So I was up in Buffalo with one of the kicking coaches.
Okay.
You know, we were in an apartment with a couple of other kickers graduating this year. And we got to compete up there for roughly 3 months. So that was a really good learning experience. And then having to move back because of this whole quarantine and lockdown, I mean, in the end, that's something where everybody just needs to stay safe. And I'm glad that everything is kind of shut down the way it is to further prevent it from spreading. But it's tough because now kind of like the plans got interfered with. Now you just got to focus on fundamentals at the park or, you know, like hopping a gate at high school to get some field goal work in.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like, you know, like you're 12, 13 again, where you have to sneak into buildings or sneak into a field to try to get some work in. And it's crazy how much it's impacted everybody across the country. But what I asked David Woodward this. I want to start with, after you leave Utah State and you wrap up, what was it like trying to find an agent and getting with a coach and doing those things? What was that process like for you?
Pretty interesting. I mean, you kind of hear about the guys that have done good work with some of your friends, or, you know, they know people in the league that you either look up to or you know, have worked with or talked with. So with my agent, we held a relationship, kind of checked in on each other throughout the whole process of senior year, just, you know, like answering basic questions, nothing, no verbal agreements or anything. But as soon as, you know, the bowl game ended, that's when you kind of get to sit down and talk about, okay, what are your plans with what you want to do for the future. So for me, it was having a kicking coach that I can work with day in and day out, which that's why I went over to Buffalo. And then the agent has a very good reputation with kickers all across the NFL, the XFL. So I felt really comfortable signing with him.
That probably is important, too, to find an agent that kind of specializes in that because you guys are kind of in a different world than a lot of other football players. You're far more, you know, specialized in what you do than a lot of other players. So I got to imagine, you know, focusing in on a guy that knows that position well is probably beneficial for you.
Exactly. And in the end, you got to know the right guys.
Yeah.
You can sign with an agency that has a big name, that has quarterbacks on end. And those are great agencies, but for a kicker, that's not necessarily the ideal one to sign with. So finding someone who has that trust of other special teams coordinators on the league or scouts, that's really what gets you to that next level, which is an opportunity to perform at the highest stage. Hmm.
Dominic Eberle joining us right here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. What if you could sum up your Aggie career, how was it for you? I mean, obviously you had a tremendous amount of success. You're loved by Aggie fans everywhere. What was this experience like for you at Utah State?
It was unbelievable. I mean, I fell in love with the place as soon as I got up there as a senior in high school when I visited. I loved every moment of it. It reminded me so much of Germany with, you know, you have mountains, you have all four seasons. The people are very friendly and it is very tight-knit of a community, and that's what I immediately loved about it. And then getting to meet all the great guys from coming as a freshman, and you have Travis Seafelt, Hunter Sharp, Chucky, all those great guys kind of taking you in, showing you the ways, and then throughout the years just constantly building relationships with the coaches, friends and families there, and your teammates, of course. I mean, that's something that I will never forget, and truly makes me appreciative of what I had up in Logan.
I remember talking to Gary Anderson before the season started, and we were going through some of the players, and he was talking about you specifically. And he goes, the ball just sounds different when he makes contact than other kickers. Is the big leg, is that something that you've always kind of been blessed with, or was it something you were able to develop your career?
Kind of both. I mean, I always had a big leg from soccer. I knew I could just go and hammer the ball out from no matter the distance, but it was more about the consistency.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to find that perfect rhythm as Steph Curry has in basketball, where you have both. You have your follow-through, you have your shooting technique, and everything just kind of makes sense together. So for me, it was more throughout the years developing mentally and physically on trying to get that best ball every single time.
You've worked with a lot of different special teams coordinators, and even a year, I believe, your junior year, where it was kind of everybody kind of pitched in and it's helped in as as a special teams coordinator. What was that like? Because there were a lot of different voices I'm sure you worked with throughout your run at Utah State.
Yeah, and everyone has a similar mentality, but also has kind of one thing that makes them their own. But all of the special teams coordinators that have come through have really taught me a lot of things and kind of gotten the best out of me, whether it was with Coach Hunger recruiting me here and kind of seeing how things work with Coach Collins coming in the first year and then now coming back as special teams coordinator last year. His mentality really helped me develop. And then Coach Tomerdahl, and then we had a couple analysts that helped us out with my junior season, where you have so many different people kind of pitch an idea of how they want special teams to run.
Yeah.
But they don't really try to teach you too much about kicking. They trust you. They want you to be at your best, and they'll help you prepare to be at your best.
Is the hash marks moving in the NFL, does that make it actually, to a certain extent, easier for a kicker?
Yeah, I would definitely say so, because you're not worried about, you know, over angling sometimes.
Yeah.
You have pretty much a straight on kick every single time. And as long as it's true, it should be going in. I mean, that's something where you don't want to think about it too much, but it does make the whole mental side easier, because it truly is pretty much the same kick no matter where you go.
Have you talked to NFL teams? Have you talked to scouts? And if so, what have those conversations been like?
They've been very positive. I mean, they've analyzed my tape throughout college, and some strengths, some weaknesses. For example, what I'm truly working on currently right now still is kickoffs. I mean, I know I have a big enough leg on field goals, but I know my kickoffs need to consistently improve if I want to be one of the best guys in the NFL, not just a guy in the NFL.
So that's kind of the big thing, is making sure that you have the ability to put it through the end zone on any kickoff?
Yeah, through the end zone, great hang time, great location.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of something where that's the next step up. You know, a guy can hit it out of the end zone with low hang time and it'll be fine, but when you got Tyreek Hill lining up in the back of the end zone, you got to kind of play it a little differently.
Yeah, that would be a problem. There's no doubt about it. Let's go back to the Fresno State game. You hit the game winner as time expires, a walk-off kick. Talk us through that. And what that moment was like leading up to it, what were the conversations, and how good that felt to be able to push that through the uprights?
I mean, throughout the whole game, you kind of get the feeling that this will be coming down right to the end. And as soon as I saw the defense got the three and out, I knew that Jordan was going to get us in field goal range, if not score a touchdown by himself, because he truly is just an amazing quarterback. And then everybody from the wide receivers, from running backs, from the O-line, everyone did their job. And as soon as I saw it come down to, okay, this will be a game-winning field goal attempt, I knew I had to do my job in order for us to win the game. And, you know, I felt calm. I felt like it was just a kick that we've practiced thousands of times in practice at the end of Thursday scenarios. And I knew that this was the moment that I've been waiting for, and that it was just going to be joy after it happened.
Do you prefer right or left hash in college? What's your preference?
I wouldn't necessarily have a preference, but we always kind of played with our data sheet.
Yeah.
We kind of track all the kicks I've had, and my highest percentage was always just from the left middle.
Okay.
So we tried to just, for that kick especially, since we had the luxury of having a timeout and already being on the left pass, just kind of move it left middle, and then that was it.
Do people come up and talk to you before a kick like that, or do you prefer just like, hey, just leave me alone, let me stay in my own mental space?
I'm usually just by myself, but, you know, teammates are excited. They're always coming. They're just, you know, trying to encourage you. I try not to listen, but I know that they're the reason why I do it. So, you know, it's kind of this extra positive energy flowing through.
Dominic Eberle, kind enough to join us as we talk about his potential NFL career, professional career. And again, I know we've done coaches shows together. I know you've told this story before, but we got to tell it one more. It's the last time I'm going to ask you to tell the story, I promise. We'll never ask you to tell it again, but you airmailed a ball over the top of a soccer net, and that led to your career.
Basically. I mean, I was at the high school. They had a big golf net behind a soccer goal, and, you know, I tried to crush one free kick, mishit it, and went over, and next thing you know, my friend tells me to go try kicking a ball, and 4 years later, I ended up at Utah State, which is still pretty amazing to say.
So did you seek out the football coach, or did they come looking for you?
I kind of started talking to them. I initiated, you know, talking with Coach Ungerer, and after having a positive, you know, talk with him and everything, and yeah. He really liked my – he sent out Coach Kloon to my high school, and from there on out, he pretty much said that they had a spot for me, and after that, it was just a competition.
I love it. Dominic Eberle joining us right here on the Aggies All the Way podcast, getting ready for his what should be a tremendous professional career. I mean, obviously now you're not able to hang out with your friends. You're not able to spend a lot of time outside of getting some work in. When the draft happens, are you going to be at home? What are your plans?
Yeah, so I'll be at home with my parents. Unfortunately, I don't think my sister will be able to come back. She's studying at Colorado State right now,
okay. But
the dog and everything out there, and she unfortunately probably won't be able to fly back. But, you know, she'll be on a FaceTime call with us, and it'll just kind of be a private moment together.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. You're one of my favorite people to chat with during the lead up to the games and after the games. And you're going to be a tough guy to replace, man. And tell me about, actually, before we let you go, there's some guys in the system already. Do you feel like there's some people that can fill those big shoes of yours?
Yeah, I mean, Connor Coles, he was my roommate for this past year, and he's a great guy. I mean, over the past few years, he really took time to learn his craft, learn his swing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him step up because I think he has as much potential as anybody.
I love it.
He works hard. He is very consistent, and even after just the first spring practice, being able to look at him and see how much he's matured, even from this past season to now, you know, pretty much having to win the job, that's something where I'm very excited to see him, and I feel like he's going to make Aggie Nation really proud.
That's great. That's great to hear. Well, Dominic, let us know what we can do for you in the future. Feel free to check in with us, and we're all rooting for you, man. Go have a great career, and thanks for all you've done for Aggie Nation and everybody else. It's been a tremendous joy watching you play and win games for Utah State.
Thank you so much for having me. No, I've truly appreciated everybody that has anything to do with Utah State, and it's truly been one of the best memories of my life, and I'll never forget that.
Two great conversations with two great players, David Woodward and Dominic Eberle. Big thanks for their time as they make their preparations for the upcoming NFL draft. Hey, remember to subscribe to the Aggies All the Way podcast, whatever subscription service you use. If you're on iTunes, please subscribe. Please give us a favorable rating, and we'd love to hear from you on any other thoughts and ideas on what you'd like to hear on the Aggies All the Way podcast from Learfield IMG College.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.